And praise you too, 'cause your grace and mercy wrought. Let's sing that one more time. Your grace and mercy, it brought me through. Yes, I'm living this moment is because of you. And I want to thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, and praise you too, 'cause your grace and mercy brought me through. Amen, amen. If you are visiting with us this morning, you're truly honored guests, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for tuning in. We hope you stay with us for the next few moments. If you have a question, you need to talk to somebody. If you need us to pray with you, pray for you, if you call a number on your screen, we'll be more than happy to do that. We'll be more than happy to minister to you in any way. It's just good to be with saints this morning. I know you, life can beat on us, can't it? Yes, life can beat on us. I want to the lesson today. I've entitled the lesson, you know, the word sociology is the study of the human function of society, the study of social problems. Psychology is the study of the mind. Theology is the study, theos, the study of God. And I guess I kind of made up this word. Lifeology is the study of life today. I couldn't find that word in the dictionary. But I want to talk about life today. And I'm not one that's an expert on life. But what I'm finding is that even for the saints, for those of us that are Christians, it seems as life is beating on us. And life does do that to all of us. But too many of us, we seem like we're losing the battle. And did you hear the scripture the brother read in your hearing from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3? Seeing that his divine power has granted unto us everything. Everybody say everything. Amen. Notice this. Everything pertaining to life and godliness. That means God has given the Christian everything that he needs to live and even thrive on earth through the true knowledge of him that has called us to his own glory and excellence. God has given us everything. We have to find it and we have to use it if we're going to live better lives on earth. And I don't believe that God has put us on this earth to be defeated and to live lives that don't shine and don't glow. And I don't know if this is going to be a series, but there's so much that I want to say, because there's so much I'm trying to learn as a preacher, as a father, as a husband, as a man, as somebody who's trying to survive every day, and not just survive, someone who's trying to be a light, to be an example, and to live a fulfilling life. Amen. Yes, yes, and boy, I tell you what, life can beat on us. Yes, it really can. I was reading a number of passages the last couple of weeks, and I found even a book of this guy by the name of Hal Urban. He's actually a university professor. He's still teaching, I understand. He wrote a book entitled "Life's Greatest Lessons." And then it had a subtitle, 20 Things That Matter. And I read portions of the book, and one of the reasons I was compelled to get it, because he seemed like he was so sincere. He teaches freshman students in college. And one of the things that he observed over and over again is that these students come in and they don't have a clue about life. And some of them come in with these expectations. Some of them are small brats. And he made this observation. He said, you know, school is not teaching our kids about the real life. And when you read his book, it's obvious that he's a spiritual man. He uses some passages in the book. And I was reading some of the captions just to kind of see what was on his mind. And I'm like, man, my goodness. I said, I know this. But he didn't. He used some passages, but he didn't put to me enough substance. As a Christian, as a man of God, as a person who believes in the Word of God, because I believe the Bible has everything that we need for life. But some of the captions, I want to use some of them. But I want to use the Word of God to make a point. And so I'm going to kind of take my time. But I want you to stay with me. And I haven't decided whether or not I'm going to continue this for a few weeks. But I know the church needs this, and I know I need this. One of the things that he said that I know is so true, and he even starts off kind of in the beginning of the book saying it, and that's dangerous, because when you start talking hard to folks in the beginning, you lose a lot of folk. But I want you to hear this, that he says that life is hard, and life is not always fair. And we do our kids, we do our children a disservice to raise them up in fantasy land. And even to, now notice this, I know as parents, we're training, we try to protect as much as we can, but you can't protect nobody from everything. And what we need to be doing is trying to prepare our little ones for a realistic life. A life that doesn't take any prisoners. A life that doesn't have a whole lot of mercy on a whole lot of folk. A life that's not obligated to make us happy. Life itself is not obligated to make us happy. And one of the things that we, even as children of God, we must expect trouble. Job said it a long time ago. He said that man that is born of a woman. Now he said, now you need to read the whole context, but he said the man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Now, don't get cynical, don't get disillusioned and overwhelmed because that's in the Bible, and you say, well, man, life is that hard. It's just life gonna be hard all the time. Notice Job had some good things that happened to him. As we all have some good things that happen to us. But Job still understood, even in his illness, even in his sickness, that listen, things don't go good all the time. Yeah, and he said that, he made that statement. You know why there's trouble? You need to expect trouble in this world because of sin. We live in a crooked world. Yeah, we stay next door to crooked people. And some of them are in our house. Notice this, and some of them are us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that is so true. It started with Adam and Eve. They were crooked, and notice this. Sin makes life harder. That's where the hardship comes from. And the sooner we recognize it, the better. And Lord have mercy, I'm telling you, we wish that everybody did right. Everybody made the right decisions. Notice, righteous living makes your life better, according to the scripture. See, some of us, we live even in foundations. See, sin comes in this form, that we suffer sometimes. Life is harder because of the sins of others. Sometimes the sins of those who've lived before us have made our lives harder. And you know that's the truth. Some of us come from families that great-granddaddies didn't leave a great foundation. And it made our lives harder. But if we recognize this, it ought to make us want to say, I want to do better. And I want to live better. And I want to make my life better, because righteous living makes our lives in line with God, and it gives us more promise. I was searching for some comfort from the Lord's word. And sometimes you turn to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. The Bible says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Notice it said, a good man. See, some folks, their minds already, I look at, I'm spending all my money out. They can work for their own. Well, I mean, you can think that way. But the Bible says, a good man. See, there are some individuals and families who make sacrifices and do things, and because they've done it, it makes it easier for their children, for their grandchildren. You know, you ever seen a family of I was in school and I went to his great granddaddy was a doctor. The granddaddy was a doctor. The daddy was a doctor. And guess what he was going to be? Now, I know it doesn't work like that all the time, but see, you can lay a foundation that will pave a way, that will carve a line, that will make your life better if you do it right. And that's why, and sometimes in our families we make things harder, because just like a good man, the Bible says, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. See, sometimes we can do evil. Like my great-granddaddy was a, you know, used to sing a song, Papa was a, youngsters don't know that song. Wherever he laid his, was this, boy, y'all. Yeah, you see, you notice this, not only was Papa a Rolling Stone, Grandpapa was a Rolling Stone. And you see one person, well, for some of you that's younger, that means Papa was a go-getter. Papa rolled with anybody. He might have had a wife at home, but he had girlfriends on corners and corners. And the men in the family saw it, and they thought Papa was cool because he wore a hat to the side. And they wanted to emulate that, and they bring that into a relationship, and they make it harder on their family. Yeah. See, life is hard, but it's harder because of sin. You remember when God created Adam and Eve, they had paradise. After they sinned, they had to work and sweat. Death came into the world, and make no bones about it. Life is harder because of sin. Life is harder because of the sin of those who've come before us. Life is harder because of our own sins. Notice this, that we might as well admit it. See, sometimes we get down and depressed about life. We get down and depressed about how things are going. Can we all do this real quick? Now, nobody else, don't look at anybody else, including me. I know I've made my life tougher by some of the decisions that I... See, don't get all mad at God because of something that you did. Listen, can I say this and be honest? See, it's better to wait to have children after you marry. God made it that way. He did. That's better. And those of us, many of us have done it, but you know it's better. You know it's more of a burden when you do it your way and not do it God's way. Amen. See, when we make decisions that are against God's will, it makes life harder. Yeah. You see, so the hardship comes from the sins of others. And then, see, also, he made the statement, life is not always fair. See, we want fairness. Why do I suffer? Why things keep happening to me and it don't happen? First of all, you don't know what's happening to somebody else. Things that you see, that things are not always as they seem. Life is unfair. How do you know what fair is? Quit looking at everybody. One of the things I remember when I was in school, and I might have told you this before, when I was playing football and we'd be training and we'd be running at the end of practice. You're already tired, and we run sprints, and they made us run in our own group. I'm with the receivers, and made us run down the line. Everybody run. And we run, and you had to run 10 sprints, and you'd be wore out and tired. I'm like, why are we doing this? We already in shape. We already, let's go home. And lo and behold, when you run, they want you to run all the way through the line. Every time, there'd be somebody that would let up before you get through the line. And the coach, they there, and he blow the whistle, and he says, start again. And you be so tired, you wanna jump on your teammate, but you're so tired you can't even do it. And he say, start again. And you go back to the line. I remember this one particular day was my breaking point. We started again, run through the line, got to the end of the line. Somebody not running through the line. Who, coach? Who is it? He pointed the person out. And we all of us. Man, run through the line. Run through the line. Go back again. We go back again. He blowing everybody run through the line. And then I got so mad. This, pray for me. Well, that's a long time ago. I already asked the Lord for forgiveness a long time ago. I said something to the coach. And in essence, it was paraphrased, you not fair, is what I really said. But I just didn't say it like that. I said some things that some of y'all say all the time. I mean, I was mad. He made us run again. We ran again. Yeah. I went in the locker room, and I was so mad. And it was out of character for me to act the way I acted. And the coach called me in his office. Called me in his office after practice. And I knew I was in trouble. I went in his office, but he didn't fuss at me. He sit me down. I sit down. And his coach, I called his name. His name was Coach Anderson. And he said, Gary, he said, yeah, you was kind of tired out there today, wasn't you? And I still was mad, but I said, yes, sir, I was tired. And he said, you, he said, that wasn't you today. I said, no, coach, I'm sorry. So I was just mad. I said, don't make any sense for somebody, you know, keep doing the same thing over and again. And he said, why you think we? I made you kept running? He said, I don't know, coach. I really don't know, coach, because it wasn't fair. And he said, this is a lesson you need to learn, son. See, whatever you do, whatever any individual, no one of you is an island. He said, we are all connected. We all teammates. He said, when we win, we all win. When we lose, we all lose. He said, so whatever the weakest link on this team affect everybody on the team. And you know, and when he said it, it didn't register. I still was like, man, it don't make no sense. You don't make nobody run because somebody else being sorry. But you know, in reality, one of the things I believe God teaches us. See, yeah, you. I'm my own man. I do what I own. I run my show. None of everybody in here, whatever you do affects more than you. If you are a father, you can't live a life that without any accountability, thinking that what you do does not affect your children. And so when you start frame in your life that I may call my decisions. I do my own thing, and I don't worry about nobody else. You're already going down the wrong street. So all of us must remember that you don't know what fair and what not fair is. As we live our daily lives, understand this, that we can make life harder with our own sins, the sins of others. What we do affect everybody's life. And then if you decide that you want to go ahead and live a rebel's life, listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding, give it favor. But the way of transgressors is hard. That's what the Bible says. For those is rebellious. Some people sometimes, even in listening to the sermons a lot of times, you say, well, you know what? Well, I'm going to do it my way. Go ahead. We serve a God that's not going to make us do anything. He does not twist our arms. You know, to rebellious kids who say, I heard that before. Well, you hear this. You go out there and live any kind of way you want to, but you remember that the way of a transgressor is also hard. And many times the price is much higher than someone who would sacrifice and try to do it God's way. And I'd like to say to us through the word of God in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in. Yeah, we need to hear this because often we don't reap the benefits immediately. A young lady in here this morning who's between the ages of 12 and 18 years old, and you're trying to live a chaste, a wholesome life. You're trying to have self-control. You're trying not to do all the things that you know that God is not pleased with. Not only that, things that will bring shame to your name, things that, and you're trying, and often it's a lonely road that you are on. And notice, and yes, it is hard. Why is it hard? Because of sin. Because there are others who would try to entice you to do whatever. Do what you want to do. Don't worry about the Bible and church and that bald-headed preacher. Just do your own thing. Yeah, but remember, the way of a transgressor is hard. Yeah, I'm telling you what, you single young ladies and have a baby and don't see that it's not hard. It's hard on you. It's hard on your family. It's hard on everybody. It costs more money. It cuts off a lot of opportunity. Why are you talking about that, Brother Gary? Because it happens every day. And it makes life harder. Yeah. And so the scripture would say, don't grow weary. Don't go weary. Notice this too shall pass. It's not that long. See, most of your life, if the Lord says the same, it says we are promised, we are at 70. Most average person in life lives to be 65, 70 years old. We know there are exceptions. We know there are people that die young. If that's true, you from 1 to 18, 20 years old, most of your life is going to be grown. You on your own. You can do whatever you want to do. And you can make life so much harder doing it the devil's way the rest of your life. God would say, don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, he says, in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. And see, that's sometimes, you know, don't faint. Faint, the Bible uses the word faint. Don't give up. Don't fall out. Don't just lay down. Get up. Somebody in here this morning need this morning. I'm telling you, you see, it's like, you know what? You say, well, what's the use? What's the use? If nobody likes me. Listen, if your mama likes you, your daddy likes you, all the church members, it's not about who likes you. You want to make sure God loves you. And sometimes we overemphasize, nobody likes me. Somebody loves you. Don't allow the devil to use that tool on you. It says, don't grow weary in where life is not always fair. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Notice this. This is real life. It's better. And see, notice. It's better if you suffer. If there's going to be some suffering. If you like me, I pray to the Lord all the time. Lord, don't put nothing more on me than I can bear. I've never been a good sufferer. I have not been. I hate pain in my body. I don't like nobody leaning on me too hard, fussing at me too hard. I don't like a bunch of conflict, you know, but it happens, doesn't it? Notice this. It happens. If it's not happening now, it's probably going to happen. And if it be God's will that you go through some suffering, make sure you're doing it in a way that's pleasing to God. Yeah, you're on the right side of the suffering. And I can't reiterate that over. He says, than for evil doing. Now, if you go to jail for something that you stood up that's for right, then so be it. And I don't know of anybody that wishes that they spent some time in prison. I know I never want to spend any time in prison. I've been close a couple of times. What'd you do, Brother Gary? Don't worry about it. But it could happen. It could happen. In the world we live in, the way things are going on in life right now, there's some things that we're going to have to take a stand on. The world's not going to like. And you know what they like to do? They like to get the so-called leaders and make an example out of the leaders. Amen? Amen. You know, so it teaches everybody else. And if we stand on something, if we say, listen, we love everybody, we love people, anybody can come to this worship service, you're invited to come, but we can't let you. If you two men coming up in here, sitting up in here, acting like you all hugged up, we don't stand for that. Notice it's in the Lord's house. You can do whatever you want anywhere, but Gary's not going to marry two men. Now, God loves you, and I love you, but we're going to teach you, thus saith the Lord. But Brother Gary, I'm taking you to court. Go ahead on. The church going to stand with me, aren't you? Because I'm calling everybody character witness. Come on, let's go down into the... And they say, but Gary, guilty. You've broken the law. You've broken the law. You've broken the law. And you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to go to jail. I just asked y'all to please bring me some food every day. And I know, listen, it's kind of humorous. It's not really humorous. But, see, even some, everybody in here does not agree with what I just said. This is not the lesson on that, but I could bring a lesson on it. But in life, everybody does not agree with whatever decision that you make. And we as Christians, as children of God, God says this, if it be the will of God, if it be God's will that you suffer, make sure you're suffering by doing something right. Amen. Doing good. So if I have to go to jail for teaching and preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God said, Gregory, so be it. Though it's uncomfortable, though I don't want to go through it, though I don't want to be in those conditions, yeah, Brother Gary, don't faint, don't fall out, don't lay down. But don't make excuses also. You know, it's wrong to embezzle the funds of your employer. What are you talking about, Gregory? You know what I'm talking about. See, some sins we do are visible. People see them. Some sins we do behind closed doors. Some of us look like we are doing right. But God knows all, doesn't he? Now notice that we're talking about reality. Sometimes we come to the Lord's house, and the Lord knows I don't look in everybody's heart. I don't know what everybody's going. Sometimes we come up here, we ask the church to pray for us, we ask for forgiveness, but we know what we are doing. Amen. And we are making life harder, and we want somebody to pray for us, but we are doing evil and not good. I knew this was going to be a little. But if you're suffering because you continually making poor decisions and you continually walking down the wrong street, God is on your side when you're doing what's good. See, sometimes a man, when he is being, he's a man in his household, and he's trying to raise his family. He's trying to be an example from his wife. Even sometimes his wife doesn't stand beside him. And what do you do? What are you to do as a man when you're trying to lead your household and your wife? You make sure you're doing it as Christ does the church. Now, you can't make anybody do anything, but you make sure God is on your side. And guess what? Though you might suffer some things while you're down here because she's not acting right, God knows what's happening. Amen. And if so be it that you have to suffer, don't go out and get another woman. Because, you know, that's what we do, don't we? Well, girl, she, I can't deal with her. She ain't pleasing me. She not taking care of me. So the Lord understand. No, the Lord don't understand. That's the real deal. And you go out and get you another woman. Now you're not doing good, you're doing evil because she's not acting right. And now both of you are not pleasing to God. And what you do is bring more hardship, more suffering in your life. Amen. I prayed about this. I did. Because I'm not a psychologist, and some of the things we hear, not only in counseling that goes on in the Lord's church, life is hard enough when you're trying to do right. It's hard enough because everybody don't want to do right. Everybody don't want to live right. But I just say, I don't want to keep God on my side. And some things you go through, you want to just give up. You want to turn it over. You want to just say, you know what? Somehow young people done, you know what? I'm tired of trying to do. I'm going to be buck wild like everybody else. It's a price. There's a price to pay. Now, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord so much for my, I didn't know how good I had it. My parents saved me from a lot of stuff. At the time, I didn't understand it, and my parents gave me some leeway. They didn't just strangle me, but they had some rules, and they made sure we knew the rules. But you know, they gave us enough rope. We had to make some of our own decisions. But I thank the Lord that they saved me from some things, because I couldn't save myself from some of those. And I say it because, why are you saying it, Burger? There were so many times that I wanted to do what my buddies were doing. Amen. And I know how much pressure it is. You want to be popular, you want to be in, you want to be hip. And I wanted to do, I mean, what? When I was in 11th grade, and I was good in football, I became popular. And you know, when you're good, it's something everybody wants you to be with them. And I used to say, Smitty, come on, Smitty, you going? I said, yeah, come on, let's go. I would go to some places, but I had to be back home. I did. I had to be back. I had to be back home. I wasn't going to have nowhere to go home. And there were so many times. I remember some of the guys that was on the football team. They used to talk about me. And they used to tease me. And I was pretty strong, but it hurt me. You know, it hurt me. And I say this, though. I've lived long enough. There's so many of them. I won't call their names now. Some of them are not around now. But I've lived long enough. I see them some. I see every now and then. I see, especially two or three that I see every now and then. One young man that I was so close. He was excellent in football. He was being recruited. He was going recruited to one of the major universities. And we started hanging out a little bit together till I recognized that he was stoned out of his mind. And I said, I can't do this one. No, I can't. Young people, sometimes you got to say in your mind, see, you know it. When you're hanging with a young lady that she's erratic, she's doing it, and I say, I can't do this. I cut it off with him, and he talked about me like a doll. He's in prison right now, never to get out. He will not ever get out. He's been in prison now 20 years. We're the same age, 56 years old, and he will never get. Lord, thank you. See, it was hard for me back then, but it surely not as hard as it is for him right now. And so Isaiah would put it this way. He'd say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And this is for those, see, this is what I'm glad I'm in the right audience this morning, because I know everybody in here, we're trying and we're striving. And I'm saying, people, Gary, I'm not doing a good job. Yes, you try. You're in the right place this morning. And Isaiah says, they that wait upon the Lord. And I'm telling you, you know, I've heard that scripture. You've heard it before. You hear them preaching at funerals. And sometimes you hear preachers, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. And you hear it, you're like, well, what does that mean? Sometimes it means exactly what it means. Just wait. Time sometimes is the only thing to take. Time can be a great equalizer. And this morning, we all admit that life is hard. We all know that life is not always fair as we see it. But he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their... And you, we need some strength in this life. Yeah, you need, see, you need strength, because God don't want you walking around having a pity party. Some of us walk around because we waiting for somebody to ask you, what's wrong? Why are you looking like that? Because you're not going to be effective in ministry. You're not going to be effective on your job. You're not going to be effective in a relationship. You become a burden. You should mount up with, scripture say, you mount up with wings as eagles. You're not bragging, but see, when you live a righteous life as a young person, you look better longer. I went to a funeral about 2 years ago. Went to the funeral, and this is where I see it in Houston. I grew up in Houston. This is where I see some of my acquaintances sometimes. Most time is at a funeral. I'm at the funeral. I had to make some remarks. I come down after the funeral, and after the funeral was over, about this group of four guys, it might have been one young lady, four guys coming, Smitty. And you know, I'm bad. I'm already bad on names. But when they say Smitty, I know they're going back to high school. And they Smitty. And in my mind, who are... Do I know you? One of them... And you know, my knee's bad also. One of them was on a cane. It wasn't just a regular cane. It was a cane. He was on a cane. The other, this is not talking about anybody else. Well, come on, I just want to say this the right way. The other one was, he said Smith, he said Smitty, but he was saying Smithish. You know why he was saying that? Some of you are older, you know why. Because it. They were, three of the guys were on the same team I was on. They were my butt. They were on the, we on the, all of us were starters on the team. And when I left there, in my mind, what happened? I said, what happened? And I know I'm bald headed and I don't look exactly the same, but if you put my picture up against my yearbook picture, that's Gary Smith. First Peter 4:19. I thought I was going to get through at least two of these. I'm just going to do one. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. And see, I want to spend a minute on this particular one because, see, this is much easier to preach than it is to live. And this is for those who it's easy to justify doing wrong. It's easy to justify giving up when you're feeling sorry for yourself. And see, Peter said this. He says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him. How you gonna do it? In well doing. As unto a faithful. God is faithful. Yeah, life is hard. It is hard. It is hard. I'd hate to live, you see, like right now. It's hard for a single woman in this society to find good men. You say what you will of me. You already know that. It's hard. And I'm telling you, I pray for, and we have a great group of singles here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ. And enough is not said to encourage them. And some of us is mad, we forgot how it used to be. And if you're single, living in today's society, and you want a mate, but the choice is limited, and you know, loneliness is depressing. But I want to say this too. I'm not talking about just women. I'm talking about single men, and women, and men. I want to say this to you. Is that first of all. It's not easy being married. So don't think that marriage is the answer all to your issues. Now, I'm sure you know that because I could line up some married folk this morning and you know what they would say? Take your time. Don't be in that big of a hurry. Wait, baby. It's going to be all right. Find something else to do. If I had to do it again. That's the truth. But reality, truth, if it be the will of God, you never know, God might be saving you. You never know, if it be with the will of God, that you have to go an extended period being single. Suffer it to be so. But I don't like the word suffer. It's in the Bible. It's true. It's exactly what. Suffer it to be so. And commit, notice this, commit your soul. Because what does it profit a man to marry this beautiful woman and she take him straight to hell? Commit your soul to God, who is, the scriptures say, he's faithful. Ooh, when you find a faithful woman, hold on to her, brother. Well, faithfulness is powerful. You find a faithful, if you're on a job, you have a business, and you find a faithful worker, you better pay them. And you better appreciate them, because for every faithful person, you got some unfaithful who's stealing from you and lying and talking about you. You find a faithful man. Sisters. Sisters, if you got a good man, cherish that man. Cook for him. Feed him. Pamper that man. Please that man. I tell you what, if you don't, somebody will take him from you. It's time for me to stop. I thought I was going to get through two of these. I'm going to take my time through these. Notice this. Life is hard. No, make no bones about it. You do good to train your children. You do good to not to give them the reality, son. I'm trying to help you, boy. Get up. Time to get up. Do something. You're going to need this one day, son. Life is hard. See, some of you say, "Bro, Gary, I'm gonna make a lot of money. I'm going to have me a maid." Good. Fine. But you know what? You go to college and you are a slob and you have a roommate, you still need to know how to clean up yourself. People will despise you because of your, well, that's a whole nother. Life is hard. It's not fair all the time. But notice this, God is still good. God knows his servants. He knows if you're striving to live, do God's will, God sees it. And if you faint not in due season, and I know sometimes, but Gary, due season is a long time. Eternity is long. Due season, just be patient and keep doing what's right in the sight of God. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You come by faith believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32, be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16. God will add you to his family. All the benefits that we have in Christ Jesus are ours as children of God. He says, be faithful unto death, and he'll give us a crown of life. Revelations 2:10, the latter part of that verse. And we hope that all of you, we hope that if you're not in the body of Christ, that you would come right now to be baptized into Christ. If you need prayer, if you need strength, come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these that alert my sight.
Yes,
I will
hasten
to him.
Hasten so glad
and free.
Hasten glad and free. Jesus
greatest, highest. I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife.
Yes,
he is the true one.
He is the just one.
He has the words of life.
Yes, I will hasten to him. Hasten so glad and free. Hasten glad and free. Jesus greatest, highest, I will come to
to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. He what he said, do what he will it. He is the living way. Oh,
I will hasten
to
hasten so glad and free. Hasten glad and free.
Jesus,
Jesus,
greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. Friends may oppose me,
foes may beset me,
still will I enter in.
Yes,
I will.
You can still come if you need to come.
Hasten so glad and free.
Hasten glad and free.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.